Hi guys, it's Amanda and you are listening to The Amanda Ferguson Show. This podcast is all about building a Christ-centered life, family, and business. So do me a favor, get you a nice cup of coffee or tea, get a cozy spot, and let's chat. I want to start this episode with an encounter. And I believe that the latter part of this encounter will really, really resonate with you. So let's dive in. I want to take you back to July of 2018. I was in my kitchen and it seemed like just a normal, regular day. But I began to feel really burdened down, and I knew that it wasn't a natural burden. I knew that it was something spiritual that God was trying to show me. Tears began to form in my eyes, and I began to cry. Before I knew it, I was on the floor of our kitchen, weeping before the Lord. And then he began to speak to me. He said, as you pour out your oil of worship, I will pour out my glory. I will never stop pouring when you're in this posture. Brokenness is what I love. Sometimes it's not in the warfare that I move, but it is in worship that I move. He says, as you pour out your pain and your tears, we swap it for his burden of intercession as he weeps on behalf of the lost. And the next part, I believe, is really going to resonate with many of you. He showed me something so powerful. He took me up in a vision and he showed me what looked like the after effects of tornadoes, earthquakes, and natural disasters. He said, tell my people, I am clearing the debris. It wasn't the disaster that took them out. It was the debris that they've had to try to sort out. I saw pregnant women in this vision walking around this debris. And he said he is clearing the debris so that generations to come will have no idea of what took place. Man, even talking about that now just touches me. Many of you have been in a strong place of warfare. You've been feeling like you've been in fight after fight, trial after trial, just wondering, God, what is up with this? Can I tell you, your fight is not about you. It's about the generations to come. It's about the legacy that you'll leave. And it's all about God's glory being revealed. In this podcast episode, I'm going to give you some strategies of warfare. And it's not in how most people teach it. Especially me as a woman, I believe that it's important to be a woman of worship more than a woman of war. Why would you say that, Amanda? Let me give you an example. Have you ever met someone who they may be saved, but when they pray, it's like they're mad at the devil every day. They're mad at the devil. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at life. They're mad at everything. They're just mad. Mad at eyelashes. Mad at if you blink. Like they're just mad. Because when you're in a constant state of fighting, you know, it goes back to the Color Purple movie. All my life I had to fight. You know, so when you're always in that fight mode, then it really becomes a part of your... I know some of you are still laughing. It really becomes a part of your nature and personality. As women, a lot of you men that are listening as well, but especially for the women, I want you to put on that spirit of worship more. This is actually a principle that the Lord spoke to me because I was turned off from ministry for a very, very long time. Most of the examples that I saw of women were very abrasive, very rough, very tough. And I'm like, man, like, is the world terrible? Do you ever smile? But it's because that they took on the stance that, hey, I'm going to fight every day of my life. But can I tell you, There's nothing like resting in God's presence and knowing that there are times that you don't have to fight. There are times that God is like, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There have been times that I've gone to God and I've felt myself in a spiritual battle because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's never about the other person. It's never about what you think it is. It's all spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle, whether people want to talk about it or not. And, you know, that's why this podcast is a little bit different, because I really believe in giving you strong spiritual principles. A lot of people say, oh, just think positive, just think positive, just think positive. We're not just going to think positive. We're going to have a root in the Word of God, because the root in the Word of God is how we're able to stand strong, is how we're able to really fight against the wiles of the enemy. We have to have a root of the Word of God. Thinking positive is not going to equip you in this spiritual battle. Thinking positive is not going to let you not be ignorant of Satan's devices. You have to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So in this podcast episode, I will give you strategy that is grounded in the Word of God. I know you're like, woo! This podcast is different. Yes. But again, this is not something that you can find everywhere. And I believe that's why God wanted me to start this podcast, because every single thing that I teach, whether it is how to build a Christ-centered business, how to have a godly marriage, how to be a godly mother, or just how to be strong in the spirit, will all be rooted from scripture. Okay. So let's talk about these principles. And again, I want you to become a woman of worship, or a person of worship, more than a person of war. Lots of women walk around saying, I'm just a lioness. Like, hear me roar. Okay, lioness, roar, but sleep as well. Because lions sleep on average 20 hours a day. So you don't see a lion roaring, you know, all day and all night. They sleep 20 hours a day. So if you're always fighting and you're always in warfare and you're always angry, then you probably haven't learned the principle of resting and waiting on the Lord. It comes to my first kind of principle that I have, which is to wait upon the Lord. The scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. I know we've heard that scripture and we just kind of say it, and it makes for a really cute Sunday school lesson. But I want you to really take that verse and meditate on it. We have to wait. And that word wait in the Hebrew actually translates to expect, to be in expectation, and to look for. That means that we should expect that God is going to take care of us. We should look for God to take care of us. If I can be honest with you, most of the time that I've been in a trial and I get very anxious about something, it's because I think that I have to know the answers. And I think that I have to take it upon myself to figure it out. And if you can be real, you probably have that testimony too. You lost your job and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, something happened, a relationship failed, and you're just like, okay, let me go jump in another relationship. We become reactive. My spiritual father, Apostle Maldonado, had to kind of teach me this and reaffirm this, because I was telling him about a situation, a trial that I was enduring, and you know, I was fearful and just didn't really know what to do. And he said, daughter, let me tell you something. We never react to the problem. He said, because if you react to the problem when you're in the height of experiencing it, you're gonna react out of desperation. He said, we don't react. We stand on the Word of God. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. Thank you for snapping me back to reality. Because every once in a while, you need someone to snap you back to reality. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm probably snapping you back to reality because you might have had something happen this week and you're like, how is this going to happen? And when you think about it, you're actually doing more complaining than you are praying about something. You're sitting there. Really, anxiety happens most of the time when we take our eyes off God and put it on our situation, which is why the scripture says, when we keep our minds stayed on Him, He will keep us in perfect peace. If your mind is not stayed on God and it is stayed on your problems, I can guarantee you, you will not be in perfect peace. And that's what happens when we get really, really anxious. So let's talk a little bit more about the scripture about even being an eagle. We know that eagles use a storm for their leverage. They do not sit there and succumb to the storm. They use that storm and they just glide through the storm. That's the way you have to look at your trials, that it's not coming to take you out, but you are gliding to a different level. You are gliding higher. You are gliding through it. It's not coming to take you out. And if you don't have that perspective, then you will feel like, oh my gosh, what is happening to me? If I can be really honest with you, I believe that 99% of us have been bamboozled. I believe that especially in these seeker-friendly churches where all of our sermons are about God is about to bless you, you're going to be a multimillionaire, your life is going to be sunshine and roses, and you know, every day is just going to feel like a beautiful rose garden. I believe we've been bamboozled. We don't like to teach things like trials. The scripture clearly says, don't think it strange when you go through fiery trials. God clearly talks about not only the power of His resurrection, but the fellowship of His sufferings. I believe we've been bamboozled to believe that life is just going to be so amazing that we will never have to go through anything, so that when trials come, it takes us by surprise. The scripture tells us to rejoice. Oh my goodness. You mean to tell me, Amanda Ferguson, that I'm supposed to be happy when trials come my way? Well, I'm not telling you that, but the Bible tells you that. It says to rejoice. There is nothing like having that fellowship of Christ's sufferings. There's nothing like enduring trials as a good, enduring hardness as a good soldier. There's nothing like that. And I have to let you know that every day won't feel amazing. There will be days, because the enemy hates the very day that you were born. He hates you with a disgust, and he would do anything to try to discourage you. The scripture says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. That means that he is watching you, paying attention to every move that you make, trying to figure out how he can destroy you. That is his mission, to destroy you. But thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. There will be trials. There will be things that, there are things that I can tell you guys, but I won't. There have been trials that I've endured in the 11 years that I have been saved. Some things, when I talk about it, it brings tears to people's eyes. Real fiery trials, real things that, you know, for some people, it will make them just be like, what in the world? You went through that? Yes, but I didn't go through it alone. God was with me every step of the way. And I want you to remind you that you don't have to go through this alone. So number one, the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to wait upon the Lord so He can renew your strength. Everybody at some point gets weary. Everybody at some point gets tired. One of my strengths has been I just crave the presence of the Lord. I just crave His presence. And some of you are listening and you're like, well, I want to crave His presence, but I just don't. Let me give you an example of that. So anytime that I go on a Daniel fast or things like that where I don't eat sweets or meat, when I'm done, I just do not want to go back to eating life regularly. I recently did that a few months ago when I was trying to lose the rest of my baby weight. And after that, y'all, I have not been able to eat beef or pork since. Not because I'm trying to stay away from it, because it just really makes me sick. Just the thought of a cheeseburger or bacon or anything, it just really makes me nauseous. I cannot just stomach eating that. When a few months ago, I would easily eat a burger or, you know, bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? I just can't eat it anymore. So if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't crave the presence of the Lord, then you have to ask yourself, what have you been feasting on? If you've been feasting on reality television and you've been feasting on, you know, all this stuff that doesn't feed your spirit and it doesn't build you up, then you're going to have to detox from that stuff. And the more you make an action and you put forth an effort to go into prayer and go into worship, the more it'll become normal for you. I actually feel weird and uncomfortable if I have stayed out of prayer too long. I'm just like, hold on, I've got to go back to this place. So if you don't crave his presence, it's because you haven't been putting in time and you haven't been detoxing yourself from the things of the world. So I want you to do that. And you'll find yourself longing to crave means to just long. You'll find yourself to long for his presence. So I want you to wait on him. And I want you to be still and know that he is God. Let me tell you about my daughters. So Hannah is our oldest one, and I go on pretty much all of her field trips unless she's going to the library. And I live close to her school, so if she leaves anything, needs anything, she just knows that her mommy is coming. One particular morning, she had dance class, and for some reason, I could not find her other ballet shoe. And by the time that I dropped her off for school, it was almost time for ballet class. And I said, okay, I need to go home and try to find her ballet shoe. So it took me a while to get it back to her school. But when I did, she was so happy. And her teacher looked at me and she said, wow, Hannah told me that her mommy was coming back with her shoe. And I looked at Hannah and I just smiled. I said, Hannah, how did you know that I was coming back? And she said, well, because you told me you were, and you just always keep your promises. That really just touched my heart, because I have built up a trust with her that even if she doesn't see me, even if she doesn't know where I'm going, she doesn't understand length of time. So all she knew was her mommy said she was coming back with her ballet shoe. Now, keep in mind, at that point, I didn't even know where the shoe was. But I'm like, okay, God, you have to help me find this shoe. But she has so much assurance and confidence that her mommy is coming back with her ballet shoe before the end of class. I want you to have that much assurance in your daddy God that he can handle and he will handle anything. He will perfect anything and everything that concerns you. Our problem is we honestly really don't trust him. If we can just be all the way honest, there's no way. Hannah wasn't in her classroom sitting in the corner crying, wondering, is my mommy really coming back with my shoe? No, she told her teacher, oh yeah, my mom is coming back. Before the end of this ballet class, I will have my other shoe. She has so much, and you couldn't tell her that I was not coming back with that shoe. Can I tell you, I want you to start telling your problems and start telling yourself, my God always comes through. He is sovereign. He is the greatest papa, the greatest daddy, the greatest father ever in the universe. He is going to make sure that he takes care of his children because he is good. Even when your situation seems contrary and it seems like things are not going well in your life, he is still good, period. Many of you heard my first episode when I got teary-eyed just talking about my mom's death. And for a long time afterwards, I had a real problem just coping with the fact that, man, I was living saved, I was living right, and my mom still died. But it wasn't until I grasped the concept and I heard this, I believe Bill Johnson has a book about God being good. Like, no matter what comes your way, no matter what obstacles you endure, God is still good, period. No matter how much you're hurting, no matter what you go through, God is still good. And you have to settle that within yourself. Many of us, if we can be honest, haven't settled that within ourselves. We still feel like maybe God is punishing us, or we don't understand why things are happening. Well, there are many, many, many things that I do not understand. But my resolve is God is good. So I want to talk to you about how the Lord ministered to me several months ago when I was going through a really fiery trial. And he took me to 2 Chronicles about the story of Jehoshaphat. And I want you to take some time and kind of study that on your own. But basically, Jehoshaphat had a whole army of people who wanted to take him out. He had a whole army of people who came against him and rose up against him, and he was trying to figure out, like, okay, God, what do I do? And so let me give you the principle that God gave me from this story. Number one, he acknowledged that God was the Almighty and sovereign over any situation. That's the first step of any kind of warfare. Because what we do is we sit down, and I know maybe you've done it or you've heard people say it, the devil is busy. If it's not one thing, it's another. You know, he takes an inch and takes a mile. This happened, I can't turn around, and this is, come on. Can I tell you something? There is nothing that is any match for God. It's time for people to stop exalting the attacks of the enemy over the sovereignty of our God. The enemy is no match for God. So Jehoshaphat acknowledged that, hey, God, you are the Almighty. I don't care if there's cancer in your body. God is the Almighty. I don't care if you have death in your family. God is the Almighty. I don't care if you have more bills than money. God is the Almighty. And you have to understand and know that that perspective alone is a strong tactic against the plans of the enemy. Because if the enemy can begin to mess with your mind, and he can begin to plant things in your mind and make you feel like you don't have any hope, oh, he's taking away your fight. So understand that. Jehoshaphat had to acknowledge that. The next thing that he did was he humbled himself. Well, if you read the scripture, Jehoshaphat humbled himself and he said, you know, I don't have any might, and we don't know what to do. We have no might. We don't know what to do. There is a level of vulnerability in the presence of the Lord that is so beautiful and pure that God, remember, God loves the broken and the humble. He loves the broken and the humble. There's a level of vulnerability that we have to be willing to have. You know, it's just like the principle that he says that we have to be like little children. My children, our children depend on us for everything, for clothes, for food, for transportation, to go to school. And oftentimes we say we depend on God, but no, we don't. We depend on that job, or we depend on, you know, where we live, or we depend on our livelihood, or we depend on our abilities. But Jehoshaphat has sense enough to say, you know what? We don't have any might. We don't know what to do. I yield everything to you. That's what I want you to decide to do today. It's not your job to figure it out. It's your job to yield everything, to yield everything to God. And then Jehoshaphat did something so powerful. After he began to say all these things, you know, like, you're God, we don't have any might, Jehoshaphat did something so powerful. And Jehoshaphat assembled people and they worshiped before the Lord. Let me tell you how powerful worship is. If you've heard my podcast, then you know that I used to be a flight attendant. And there was nothing like taking off and being 30,000 feet in the air. And what was a big house on the ground, the higher and higher we ascended into the air, the smaller it became to look like just a little pebble on the ground. That's what worship does. Worship allows you to transcend the trivial and allows you to go to a place where your problems seem like mere pebbles, where the enemy can't find you and you can't even find that terrible perspective. I want you to come up from where you are. I want you to come up in prayer. I want you to come up in worship and decide that you're not going to stay in that low place. You're not going to stay in that low place, but you are going to ascend to that place of worship with the Lord. And it says in verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, that God set ambushments against those that rose up against them." Isn't that powerful? They could have tried to take matters in their own hands. And that's what happens when people get mad at us and we go on Facebook and Instagram and throw shade. That's what happens when people hurt our feelings and then we go and we gossip and talk about them. That's what happens when we just decide, you know, we're not going to wait on. They could have decided, hey, I'm not going to wait on God. But because Jehoshaphat yielded and surrendered to God, he made a decision to worship. Then God says, "You need not fight. Don't even fight, Jehoshaphat. I've got this. I, the Lord, I'm going to handle it." And I want you to understand that. When you submit and you yield to the Lord, he'll give you strategy. And I want you to take some time today and I want you to just worship. Before we end this podcast, I want to pray over you. There are many of you who have been in mind battles. You have been in the fight of your life. You feel like, God, it's only the beginning of 2019 and I already feel like I'm back in 2018 fighting and I just feel defeated. Can I tell you something? You are not defeated. I pray right now that you be strengthened in the Lord. I pray right now that you encourage yourself in the Lord. And I pray right now that you find yourself in his presence. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So I want you to stir yourself up right now as I pray over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that God will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I pray right now that everything that's been cloudy in your mind, that God is going to settle it with clarity. I pray right now that even those that of you who have trouble sleeping at night, that he will give you perfect peace, that when you lie down, you will not be afraid, but when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I pray and I prophesy over you that you will have sweet sleep. I pray and I prophesy over you that you are about to enter into a season of joy, complete restoration, and that you're about to experience a place in God that you've never experienced before. I love you so much. I want to encourage you, never ever leave your posture of worship. Worship is a powerful weapon, and worship is warfare. Until next time, I'll see you next week, because this podcast is all about living a Christ-centered life. Talk soon. Bye.